Hey, this is Ryan Tucker, and we want to thank you for listening to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast. In this podcast, we get to dive into Pastor Stephen's weekly sermons right here at Highland Park Baptist Church. We would ask you to rate, like, subscribe, and comment. And again, we are honored and thankful that you have chosen to listen to the Unchangeable Truth. What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast. Today is a special episode talking about the context sermon series that you are doing on Wednesday nights.
You're wearing the same clothes you had on last week.
I'm wearing the exact same clothes.
Oh, my goodness.
My wife didn't do the laundry. I'm just kidding. No, we're recording several in one day. Yeah.
We're supposed to bring separate
shirts. We didn't plan ahead.
We're just raw. That's who we are, man.
We're just two guys.
We're not trying to create a facade.
That's true. This is who we are.
It's who we are.
This is what we're like in the office. This is what we're like. This is
kind of like my 17-year-old son got a closet full of clothes. His mama will buy him like top of the line. I don't know if you say designer clothes, but I mean just clothes,
name brand
clothes that I didn't have growing up.
Nope.
And anyway, they'll be sitting there hanging in his closet with tags on them, and he's got probably six shirts that he bought at the dig that he just rotates them all week long. And I'm like, for real, my man, why won't you not wear something different? Well, I'm not a preppy person. It has nothing to do with prep, but whatever. So we're wearing the same clothes. I will say though that, you know, clothes I've got on at least would be okay. It'd be classy.
You're saying I'm not classy with my T-shirt?
Well, clearly you are offended by that, but I didn't mean it that way. But I guess, you know, if you're looking to bite off something, go ahead and roll with it. But we started, so we're doing this on context because there's a sermon series that I started. I don't know, probably a month ago. In our midweek service, and if you ever find yourself in Panama City on a Wednesday night, I mean, we have full-fledged service on a Wednesday night, have a great crowd, and have a lot of folks that, because of Sunday being a regular work day, you know, boat captains or whatever, Wednesday night's their church. Mm-hmm. And now our students and children, they don't come in there with us. We have a programming for them, but the a little bit more teaching on a Wednesday night, and kind of approach it, probably shouldn't, but approach it as, hey, a little bit deeper and a core group type deal. And so we started this because one of the things that you're taught when you go to seminary or you're studying any kind of proclamation, preaching classes, whatever, is context is king.
Yeah.
Because you can pull anything out of context and make it say whatever in the world you want it to say. Kind of like what you just did about me talking about being classy with my clothes. But the I think it's lost on a lot of people. And I think a lot of people will that just because somebody claims to be speaking on behalf of God, well, that's true because they use the scripture to say it. And we know that's how Satan tempted Jesus.
All right, so I have a question, and it may be a two-part question.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Sure.
So why do you think people pull scripture out of context? Like, why do you think it happens so much?
Because they want it to say what they want it to say. They usually are looking for a license, and let me sprinkle it with a little bit of scripture to try to... motivation, everybody's motivation is different. It could be they're going to get something out of it. It could be that they want to continue to live a certain way, or they want to want to walk in unrepentant sin, or it'd be all kinds of reasons why somebody would do that. I've seen it from what makes them feel as though they're important, that they're able to draw or mine something from the Bible that somebody else hasn't. Yeah. It shows their biblical intelligence, their theological kingdom, right? Anything in the world, you see it. One of the things that we'll eventually deal with in this series that I've already dealt with, there's a little gnat or something flying around.
I see it.
But that we deal with is the prosperity preaching. God wants me to be healthy and wealthy. Well, you can you can pull verses out of context that would say that. But usually they're not as focused so much on the health side as much as the wealth, and it kind of goes like this, so that, man, if you'll send to me, then God will unload on you.
And I'm kind of excited to have that conversation with you on that sermon. So I can't wait for that one. So my second question.
It's all over me.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, this is real life right here in the Unchanged for Truth podcast studio.
Man.
We got gnats. We got to work that out.
Yeah. It's like a fruit fly.
So if...
Tsetse fly.
So going back to... We got Journey's losing it back there.
Hey, those are real, man, in Africa, those tsetse flies.
Yeah.
Like, they lay eggs in your ears and
oh,
stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
Bad.
Now it's over here.
I know it.
Got it.
It's terrible.
All right, we're good, Journey. We're good. So the original question is, like, why do you think people do that? My second question is, how do so many pastors fall into this category where they're doing this? Because, like, again, going to school, having some sort of biblical understanding, we understand that context is important. We have to look at all parts of Scripture. We have to understand what it's saying, who they're talking to, why this writer's writing the way they're writing. So why do you think pastors are purposefully pulling stuff out of context or maybe just missing it?
Well, purposefully, personal gain is what I would say, whether that be fame or financial or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And you know, it's amazing what people deem to be a kingdom.
Yeah.
I mean, a kingdom could be the 50 people that are in the church they pastor.
Yeah.
And if it's not, if it's purposefully, it would fall in that, you know, unconsciously or, not purposefully, then I'm going to say laziness.
Okay.
They're just not doing the work.
Yeah.
They're not doing the work by studying the Scripture and, you know, understanding the context. Well, and we'll dig into this, but who he was writing to, what they were dealing with at that time, what is the overarching principle that applies to all people at all places at all time, and versus me just cherry-picking a verse or cherry-picking a few words from a verse, let me read it in the entire context of what he's addressing there, and just not putting in the work.
Well, and because, I mean, I know how seriously you take the Word of God.
Sure.
I know that you, I mean, even behind closed doors whenever you're not on the stage and you are, you know, doing a little devotion with the staff when we have staff meetings. Like, I know that you're taking the... And you even talk about context there. And, like, we are... I feel most of us are pretty educated about the Bible. And so we know, but you still, like, hey, let's take in consideration the things that are going on and what the right... But we know it's dangerous when... It's not done correctly. And I guess that's my overall question or general question. It's like, how do so many pastors, yes, I understand they're being lazy, but it seems to be there's so many people taking Scripture out of context.
Yeah, I don't know. I will tell you that's one of the reasons why several years ago I got real serious about expository preaching, because And I feel like a lot of guys are out there, okay, I have something that I want to address. Mm. I have something that I want to say. Here's what I want to say. Now, let me go find some scripture that will back up what it is that I want to say versus letting the scripture drive what it is that you're going to say. And so for those that are listening and you don't know what expository preaching is, expository preaching is I'm going to take one verse or one book of the Bible and I'm going to deal with it verse by verse by verse. Which is going to really force you to do it within context, because you're reading it and you're looking at what was this written or who was this written to, what was the purpose from the get-go here, and then we take it and we put it in the proper environment of today, but the overarching principle has not changed, and so that's I'm gonna throw expository preaching out there all day long.
Yeah.
That to me, that helps me stay in the proper context. Yeah. And, you know, be careful as well who you read and who you listen to. And, you know, goodness, I know we've heard Johnny Hunt say this before. If it's new, it's probably not true. And if it's true, it's probably not new.
Right.
So if you're sitting there, hey, I'm going to show you something in the scripture that you've never seen before. Yeah. Oh, danger, Will Robinson.
Yeah.
Be careful. There may be a reason why you've never seen or heard that before. And I go back to the Bible study that we talk about in here quite regular. I even had somebody ask me about it recently because they heard about it on the podcast. But experiencing God, you know, one of the things that he talks about there about understanding and knowing the will of God. And I would say this, understanding the truth of the word of God is, who is this exalting? Is this exalting me or is this exalting Jesus Christ? Because scripture is not written to exalt us.
Yeah.
It's written to bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ. And I'd say scripture is not written to make us comfortable. Scripture is written, it's a mirror is what it is. Yeah. And I hold it up in front of my life and I examine myself according to the scripture. Now, we know it makes much of Jesus. And to me, there's nothing greater to make much of Jesus than the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I really can't answer your question what the motivation is.
Why?
But I would agree there's a lot of guys out there. I don't know. Maybe they want to be liked, or maybe, hey, man, I can put more people in the seats if I talk more about what God's going to give you than what God wants from you or what God requires from you.
I don't know if there is a, you know, perfect answer for that, but I mean, again, just I see some of the young people I work with, like I see some of the dangers of, you know, that being taught, they're literally being taught things that are taken out of context in scripture, and so they bring that and they question, and you know, I get the but what about this, and then it starts to create in them all these questions, and I'm okay with questions, but like let's ask the right question the right way so we can understand what exactly it's talking about. I don't know. It's dangerous, and so I'm glad you addressed this.
Well, and the Bible says to test the spirits.
Yeah,
I say it all the time, man. You're going to come and sit underneath my preaching, then, man, absolutely bring the Bible, bring the Word of God.
Yeah.
Make sure that I'm not just willy-nilly saying stuff. Let's make sure the Bible actually says that. But I would say as well, it's such a fine line because you don't want it to be, okay, I don't believe a word anybody says.
Yeah.
I question everything that is said. That's a danger within itself because then you go more looking for error than you do receiving the truth. That's a danger side. And the other danger side is I just accept everything that's said as being the God's honest truth. And that's what God says in his word. So there's got to be a balance there. Don't discount the Holy Spirit moving and working in your life and the Holy Spirit agreeing or the Holy Spirit. I mean, I've been sitting there before and, you know, I've heard something said in a sermon and it's like the Holy Spirit immediately like,
Yeah.
I'll never forget. We had a guest preacher here who was a great preacher. This was years and years ago, and he goes to the passage of scripture in the New Testament, maybe Corinthians, but 1 Corinthians. Don't hold me to that. But basically, he says, and it says in this verse that homosexuals will not inherit heaven. You know, amen, 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 amen.
Yeah.
And of course, what I'm sitting there is I'm like, yeah, but it says all kind. It says adulterers. It says revilers. It says people who've been disobedient to their parents. And I mean, honestly, there is not a person living that is not going to fall into one of the categories that is listed there. He just chose one. And so I came back the next week and I'm like, without, you know, I didn't want to bring disrespect there. I mean, I don't.
Yeah.
Anyway, the guy preaches Jesus, but I had to come back and clean it up and say, hey, listen, you know, man, this scripture does say that, you know, the homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom, but it also says A, B, C, D. And at the end, here's what it says, as were some of you.
Yeah.
And it really is talking about the gospel message that we're all destined for hell unless there's a repentance of sin and a change of heart. And so I just think we have to be very careful in how we rightly divide the word of God because it's so easy for us in our desire to validate what we're saying to even pull scripture out of the proper context.
Yeah.
That's why it's so key for us when it comes to understanding and studying the Word of God. Let me have something that I'm using there as a basis, as a guideline as I study this. My son just yesterday said, "Hey, Dad, you want to read the Bible together this year?" And I'm like, "Yeah, let's do it. Let's start today. We'll start today, and we'll do New Testament first, and let's just read one chapter a day." And we can do that for 5 days. And he's like, "Well, why are we taking day 6 and 7? We don't have to take those days off. We'll do it. We'll just roll through it." And he goes, "Well, I don't want to read it just to read it. I want to read it and understand and get something out of it." And so I use something that I got from Dr. Adrian Rogers many years ago, but basically five questions that as you're studying the Bible, hey, I want to ask these questions. I want to understand that. Who he's writing to, context, all that's involved in there. So I would just say, versus you saying, "You know, I'm going to take my Bible, go out in the woods, open it up, and Holy Spirit, you show me what you want me to know." And again, he can do that, but man, have a plan.
Yeah.
Have something that, okay, I'm going to ask these questions.
Yeah.
How does it apply to me? What's he asking me to do? Is there a promise to claim here? A lot of things. And if you'd like to know more about that, if you want to, man, write us, send us an email there, podcast@highlandpark.org. Hey, what are those questions you're talking about? Yeah. And we'll be happy to get those to you. We'll be happy to send you a little bookmark that we hand out here if you'd like to have one of those.
Well, and you talk in the sermon that you did on Wednesday night, you talk about these imperatives for understanding Scripture. And, you know, you talk about remaining hungry. We've got to be diligent to do this. And I love and hate that word diligent. I love the fact that, yes, you know, I feel like I am a diligent person when it comes to various things in my life, but I also feel like I'm not too diligent when it comes to, you know, diet and exercise, right? But when it comes to being diligent, this eagerness to study the Word, this eagerness, this diligency just to remain hungry for the things that God's saying, like it's imperative to understand context.
Well, the words there, they come from 2 Timothy chapter 2, and Paul's writing to this young preacher, right, a protege, Timothy, and Timothy's young, and Timothy's dealing with all kinds of issues, as most pastors do in churches, and so he uses those words there for him: be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed.
Yeah.
And so be hungry, be intentional, all of those things. This is not just going to automatically happen is what he is saying there.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have to work at this. What is he talking about working about? Rightly dividing the Word of God. I mean, you'll be ashamed if you're not handling Scripture correctly. And so how are you going to be an approved worker? You've handled the Word of God correctly. And so it's going to be it's going to be something that you never get to the point where you're like, "All right, I've arrived. I've done it."
Yeah.
No, you never get to the point where you're like, "All right, I read all the Bible. What do I do next?"
Yeah.
I've had folks ask me that before, you know, "Hey, where do you get your content?" That'd be the Bible and, you know, some of the studying that I do and all those various kinds of things. And what happens when you run out? Well, I mean, you just kind of start over because you never run out. Same way. You never get to the point where you're like,
"Did they really ask you where you get your content from?"
He did. This was a new believer. He had no idea what he was asking. It was a sincere question.
Yeah.
I never get to the point where I like, "Okay, done. God's taught me all I need to know."
Yeah.
Never need, you know, I'm finished. I've read the Bible. I mean, there are other books you read and you're like, "Yeah, that's a good one. I'm done. Put that up on the bookshelf." The Bible's not one of those. And so you have to, as we said there, I'm going to remain hungry. I'm going to be diligent in all that I do, especially when it comes to understanding what God's Word. So it's going to be habitual in my life.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make a routine out of it. And there will be seasons of life to where things are going better when it comes to that.
Yeah.
There might be people listening to it right now. They're like, "Man, I've tried. And I just couldn't stick with it. So I just said, this is not who I am. Yeah. I'll never be able to do this." It's okay. Go ahead. Try it again.
Yeah.
Try it again. Pray over it before you start it. And I wouldn't even say have some accountability in your life. Somebody in your life that loves you enough, they're going to say, "Hey, man, so how was your quiet time today?
Yeah.
What'd you read in the Bible today?"
Yeah.
The flesh is going to consistently be a struggle.
Yeah.
The devil's going to give you every excuse in the world. But if there's anything you're going to fight for, anything that you're going to be intentional and diligent about, it is I'm going to be in God's word.
Well, and you even say like to relentlessly work at it.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
But I do want to ask this question in some of the time that we have left, because your third, one of your points, I think it's your third point.
The imperative.
The third imperative. There you go. So for our listeners that maybe not have heard this language, you've said it a couple of times. What do you mean rightly divide the word of God? Like how would you explain that maybe for somebody that doesn't quite grab that?
Well, yeah, the word there for rightly dividing, it comes from a Greek word. It's the word orthos, and that word means straight. And tekmo means to cut. So you cut it straight. You rightly divide it. This is probably a poor example, but if I'm sitting there and, you know, let's say somebody's baked us a pie and there are three of us, and, you know, they brought it to the Unchangeable Studios. And
would love that, by the way.
Just wanted us to be blessed. And so let's say they brought us a homemade apple pie. Boy, wouldn't that be good? I like apple pie. You like apple pie?
Yeah.
Journey?
That'd be really nice if somebody did that.
If somebody would like to do it, if the Lord has laid that on your heart. Now, only if you're a good apple pie baker now.
And maybe some ice cream on the side.
I'd say vanilla ice cream. That would be good. If they want to put a little bit of caramel on it too, that'd be great. But anyway, and we're like, hey, Journey, yeah, go ahead, cut it up for us.
Maybe we'll claim it. We'll claim it that somebody will bring that.
Yeah, does that work that way? Anyway, he's going to cut three pieces.
Yeah.
Well, I know this crew right here. Very quickly, we're going to say, whoa, hang on now. His piece is bigger than mine. What do you mean, man? Come on, we're all supposed to have an equal share. This should be rightly divided.
Yeah.
And so just as we would want him to, let's be intentional about that. Same way, I want to rightly divide the word of God. I don't want to make it say something it's not saying. And likewise, I don't want to stay away from something that it may be saying, even though, I mean, it's because it's hard to swallow. But no, I mean, I'm going to deal with it rightly. Yeah. Again, who am I working on behalf of? I'm working on behalf of God. I'm rightly handling his word. I want to be considered or declared by him an approved workman because of the way that I've divided the word of God to other people. And you know, you and I, that is the vocation that we have. But it's a calling for all Christians. Man, I want to handle the word of God right. And the only way I can handle it right is I got to know it.
Yeah,
I've got to immerse my life in
it.
And so, that's what that word means. Rightly divide, that is a word that is used among preachers all the time. You know, want to rightly divide the word of God. They take it from that scripture right there. But it's a sanctification is what it is. I mean, scripture tells us there, you're to sanctify them with the truth. What is the truth? The truth is the word of God.
All right, so when we get into actually studying the scripture, again, understanding the context, you talk about addressing the culture, you know, we got to understand who's writing and what they're writing to. But you also kind of talk about asking, I think the way you say it is ask these journalism questions. Like, I would say go CSI on the scripture, right? Like, you just kind of dive in, you start asking all these different questions, who, what, when, how, where. So it is that, this softball question, I'll let you have it, like, is that really important, or is that just to kind of help, like to really jump in and ask all these tough questions?
Yeah, well, the journalistic questions are known as the five W's.
Yeah.
Who, what, when, where, why. Who, what, when, where, why. Now, you can throw how in if you want to, but who, what, when, where, why. It's always interesting as, you know, when it comes to our media team here at Highland Park and announcements that are being created and, you know, publications and commercials and all this, I'll sit there and say, hey, don't forget, you know, the five W's. And they're like, what are you talking about? Because they're not taught. They weren't taught that. Yeah. I was taught that in school, like grammar school. Who, what, when, where, why? You always ask that. Well, it's true when it comes to the word of God. Who's he writing this to?
Yeah.
Because that means everything in the world. You know, you could go to the book of Jonah and you read about Jonah saying, you know, God telling Jonah, hey, I want you to go to the Ninevites and take my word to them and tell them to repent, or I'm going to wipe them off the face of the earth. And Jonah's like, I'm not going. And so we would sit there and read that and we would say, wow, what's Jonah got against God? why is Jonah being so disobedient to God?
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't have anything against God. He wasn't sitting there saying, boy, here's what I want to do today. I want to disobey what God says. He hated the Ninevites.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, if I don't go preach to them, then God's going to wipe them out. Yeah, let's wipe them out, all of them.
Right.
I don't want to go preach to any of them. And so when you understand that, then you're like, oh, yeah, it kind of makes sense. Kind of makes sense. He hates these people. I mean, they are pagan people. I mean, we don't have Ninevites today in our society, but we do have people that we think, oh, well, you know, man, they deserve what God's fixing to get ready to unload on them. Yeah. I don't want to go be their life preserver. No. They deserve what they're going to get because of how they've lived, in which I always have to ask myself, okay, if we're talking about people getting what they deserve, do we want that to be, do I want that category in my life? No, I don't want to get what I deserve. I want to get what I need, which is a gracious God, a forgiving God. Yeah. And so what's happening here? Who's he writing to? Why is he displaying it that way? You know, the what? What's God's word saying here? What's he addressing? What's the issue that is taking place? When changes everything? Not only cultural, but I mean, you can look at American culture. I think we would agree American culture has changed from the 1960s to the 2000s. I mean, it changed from the 60s to the 90s. So when is this taking place? Help us understand. I mean, some of the language and lingo and all those kinds of things. I mean, we could do that all day. Just asking those journalistic questions, help me understand what is taking place in context here. So, and we've mentioned this many, many times, but I'll bring it out again. So you have what is being dealt with in that setting, but then you have the overarching principle that's going to apply to everyone, everywhere, in all cultures, in all situations. Yeah. So let's look at it historically. Let's mine out that precept, and then let's put it into our everyday culture. Or let's look at contextually. My wife is historical when it comes to her teaching, and I am practical. Thank you. I couldn't think of the word practical. Let's look at the practicality of it.
But when we do that, right, like it absolutely points us to Jesus.
Oh, without a doubt.
Like that's the cool part to me. Like, sure, we can be looking. Yeah, you can read one verse and go, "What does that mean? I don't understand that." But then you look at it in the full array of the context. You look at it in the setting, and it does. It points to Jesus.
So
every time,
no matter what scripture you read, Old, New Testament, at all, you should approach it as, "I wonder what this is saying about Jesus."
Yeah.
Because you're right. The Bible is all about Jesus. Oh no, not the Old Testament. Well, yes. The Old Testament screams Jesus, just doesn't use his name.
Yeah.
I would agree. I say it this way. If you try to read the Bible and understand the Bible without putting your Jesus glasses on, you're going to be like a blind man trying to read a book that's not written in Braille.
Mm.
You're not going to get anything.
Context is key. All right, man. Well, thank you for, as always, pointing us to Jesus, pointing us to the truth of Scripture. And we'll see you right here on the Unchangeable Truth Podcast.
This is Pastor Stephen Kyle, and I would like to thank you for listening to this week's episode of Unchangeable Truth. We would always love to talk to you about your relationship with Jesus Christ, so feel free to shoot us an email at podcast@highlandpark.org. That's HILANDPARK.org. The purpose of this broadcast is to help you fall more in love with Jesus Christ and your faith to grow as you consistently find yourself in the Word of God. If you ever find yourself in Panama City, please feel free to stop by and worship with us in person at 2611 Highway 231 North. May God bless you, and we look forward to you joining us again.